Well, good afternoon. Thanks for being here today. Hope you had a good lunch, and hopefully you are awake and ready to go for this session. Let's start with a word of prayer, and then I'll introduce myself, and we'll get started into this session here. Let's pray first. Lord, thank you for what we've heard, Lord, for those of us that were here Sunday, and then, Lord, last night, different sessions today. And Lord, I pray that now in this session you would calm our hearts and allow us to learn some perspective, some principles, some truth that would help us to be effective as servants of Christ. And I pray that you would bless the remainder of the services and sessions today, and then help us, Lord, as we come back tonight to be refueled, charged, and then, Lord, ready to hear from your word. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me take your Bibles, if you will, invite you to take it and turn it to Hebrews chapter number 10. We'll start there in just a moment, but I'll go ahead and get you started opening it up. My name is Mike Lester. A lot of people, when they think of me, they think of the college. I've been working here in the college for 24 years. I oversee our academics, and my wife works in our admissions department, and so we've been here really since right out of college almost, and so that's where we primarily work. But for the last 23 years, I've served in our singles ministry, and we've gone through different names, we've gone through different age groups we've worked with, but for 23 years, we've served in the singles ministry here. We've been in a lot of weddings, conducted a lot of weddings. I have five daughters. They have been flower girls more times than I remember, and we've just enjoyed that ministry. And singles ministry looks a lot different 23 years later than it did when we first moved here. There's just it's a different culture, a different generation, if you will. But we enjoy working with it, and that age group. And so we've worked right now. I teach the room directly above this, so a room this size is where I meet every Sunday, just one floor up. They put the noisy singles upstairs, I think. And so we're there having a good time each week. But I appreciate you coming here today, and I'm hoping that we'll leave here with some thoughts to think about that'll help us be more effective. We've entitled it Leading an Effective Singles Ministry. I'm going to put up a clip here. For those of you who grew up with the black and white, this is the infamous Leave It to Beaver. 50 years ago, the ideal family in America, you were married by 22, you had a white picket fence, 2.3 kids, I think, 2.4 kids, you had a little dog running around your property, and if you were 30 and not married, it's sort of an anomaly in the church. So most church ministries were geared around couples and family and emphasizing strong marriages and things like that, because that was the primary target. That was the primary people sitting in the pews. Well, there's been a shift, and as far as when people are getting married now, and there's been this generational and cultural shift. People are staying single longer. A 2017 census here in America, 110.6 million Americans over the age of 18 are unmarried. That's right at 45% of our adult population. So roughly 45% of our adult population today are unmarried singles. Go back to 1970, 28% of the population was unmarried. You see a shift. 30 years ago, 40 years ago or so, maybe 50 years ago, 25 or so percent, one out of every four were unmarried, and now it's roughly 50% even unmarried and married. I say that because I don't know that our church strategy for reaching people has changed that much in 50 years. And so there's a segment of our population that sometimes gets overlooked. A population that is growing, a population that in your communities probably make up half of the percentage there. And so we need to think about that because populations are changing. The average age now for a man to be married for the first time, 29 and a half. That's the average age right now, at least based on 2017. The average age for women as they get married, 27.4. That's different from my mindset. I'm not that old. I'm late 40s. We've been here for 20 plus years. In my mindset, it is, hey, you go to marry, you go to college, and as you leave college, you're married, and you go serve the Lord. That's how my mind operates. That's not happening as much as it did 40, 50 years ago. There's been a shift, and we need to be aware of it. So as we think about it, does that have any bearing on our philosophy, our strategy, our local church ministry philosophy? Does it change that? It's funny what you hear sometimes when you hear people talking and they say things. Do you know how sometimes people say something and they mean well, but it doesn't sound well? So sometimes the idea, if we've been married for a long time, my wife and I are working on our 25th year, we don't think like singles anymore. Because over half my life I've been married. So try to reverse yourself and put yourself in a position of not being married and hear somebody say this or imply this, that singles are only half a person and they need to meet their other half at church. Think about that for a minute. Doesn't sit right, does it? And we mean well sometimes. I've heard people say that. I don't say it because I work in singles ministry and I know how that sounds to the people I teach. But I hear it often, and it's like, hey, and they won't say you are half a person. They'll just say you need to come and be made complete. So it's the same thing. It's the implication. Sometimes I've observed this. Yeah, the singles are our workforce in the church, and the implication is so the married people can enjoy the services. So if you have a 19-year-old that's married, he can sit in the service. If you have a 19-year-old that's single, he doesn't get that privilege. You see what that means? It's a mental shift. We don't mean to do that intentionally because in our mind, hey, you know, serve the Lord while you're single. Great, but married people serve the Lord too, and people are staying single longer. We need to be aware of it. Sometimes, here's what I've heard from singles as they visit other churches and they finally come here. When I went to that church, I felt like, you know, like when you're an adult, but when you go back for Thanksgiving and you still have to sit at the kids' table. And sometimes that's how they describe their experiences. You know, the singles class, if there is one, is sort of in a back building somewhere, up a flight of stairs, and it's not cared for. And they feel like they've sort of been pushed off to the side. And if 50% of our population are unmarried people, we need to think strategically about making sure that our singles ministries are effective. So how do we include those people? What are we doing to reach them? They're busy. Singles are busy just like married people are busy. And maybe that's just my perceptive of being here in California. It's a fast-paced society, but our singles aren't waiting around in our classes waiting for somebody to call to do something. They're busy people. How do we reach them? Where do we find them? And what would effective ministry to them look like? If we're leading an effective ministry, what would that even look like? So as I get started with the lesson, as we come to Hebrews 10 in just a moment, here's sort of the philosophy that drives the singles ministry here where I serve. And I wrap it up in a mantra. One is a whole number. Jesus was unmarried, and he wasn't half a person. In fact, he was pretty much a whole man, right? Paul wasn't half a person. And you start to think about how God used single people in the Bible as well, Joseph, etc. Sometimes in singles ministries, I joke with them because I don't want them to get married too quickly and leave my class because, you know, they come in ones and they leave in pairs, right? And so I said, you need to stay. Be like Jesus. He was 33 and not married. And when I said that 20 years ago, it was like, that seems so far away. Now it's like, wow, that's almost where the society has caught up to. We're right at the 30 mark. And so when we think about reaching an effective singles class, I believe Hebrews 10 would have some of the answers we're looking for. So, and that in mind, Hebrews chapter number 10, let's look at verse number 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Paul isn't necessarily, the writer of Hebrews isn't necessarily writing a prescription of having an effective singles ministry. But yet I see three key ingredients here that are they're key for having an effective singles ministry and really an effective ministry overall. And so with that in mind, let's look at the first principle. Verse number 22, let us draw near. And the idea here is drawing near, getting closer to God. That's the idea we're looking at here. At Lancaster Baptist Church, we have connection groups. That's what we call them. We've called them different things. We've called them life stages. We've called them the typical Sunday school class, adult Bible fellowships. Sometimes now we use the language connection groups. And whatever you call it, here's the idea behind it. We're wanting to connect people to God. We're wanting to help people, wherever they're at, get closer to God. And the writer here says, let us draw near. And he gives some ideas on how to do it. Your heart needs to be true. You need to have a full assurance of faith. And your conscience needs to be dealt with. You need to understand about the cleansing that's offered in the Lord. He deals with this idea of drawing near connection groups. In our singles ministries here, we want people to have a right relationship with the Lord. We want them to know how to have direct access to God, how to come boldly to his throne. We want to remind them they have an open access to a heavenly Father. Because many of them don't have a picture of what a good father even looks like. So trying to remind them they have a Heavenly Father and helping them in order to take their burdens there. So when I think about this point, here's the picture in my mind I want you to sort of grab hold of. We want to teach them how to sit at the feet of Jesus. An effective singles ministry isn't just all fun and games. It's not just an extension of the teen group. It's not the same where you say, hey, all of these games we played in our teen class, we're going to keep doing it now because, you know, you're not married. No. There's a philosophy here where we want to learn to teach singles and married people alike how to sit at the feet of Jesus, how to hear his word, how to learn Bible principles to deal with the things that they deal with, because they're getting bombarded just like the married people in our churches are. They're dealing with contemporary issues just like the rest of our church. How do they deal with it? What scriptures are we teaching them? And so we have strong Bible lessons to help us understand how to sit at the feet of Jesus and how to draw near to him. So here's the goal we have. The goal is to create an environment. And the singles classes, they've been called different names in the last 23 years that I've served with them. But our goal has been to create an environment where singles learn how to worship the Lord, they learn how to understand his glory, and they learn to understand how worthy he is of our worship. They learn to sit. They learn to spend time. They're not the Marthas going out and serving first. They're the Marys who need to learn to sit at the feet of Jesus and then go serve. And sometimes we're not careful in our singles ministry. They're the Marthas. There are Marthas that we pull from. Let's send the Marthas out. And the Marthas go build our bus route. The Marthas serve in the nursery. That's good. They need to serve. And we want our singles to serve here too. But let's not neglect teaching them to learn how to sit first. And an effective singles ministry is one that teaches them how to draw near to the Lord. And we all have them. If you teach a couples class, you have it. If you teach a singles class, you have it. You have people who come to church because they like you. I have people who come to my class because they like me or they like my wife. I get it. They do. So what do we do with that? Well, as quickly as possible, we want to get them to come because they love Jesus, right? So we want to teach them how to sit at the feet of Jesus. We want to teach them how to draw near to him. This is our goal. So the first ingredient, it's just right from the text. It's right here from Hebrews 10. Are we helping them to learn how to draw near to the Lord? If we're not doing that, if our Bible curriculum isn't designed to help them draw near, that's where we start. If we're viewing them through the lens of they're our worker base, they're the worker bees, then we need to step back and say, okay, yeah, but they have a heart we have to nurture as well. So we'll help them to draw near with a true heart. That's where we start. Number two, hold fast. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us hold fast. And so I sort of picture it this way. Don't quit. Holding on. We have an Air Force community here, so we have people that come and go. We've had many people who have come through our class, and now they're literally all over the world. And some have served in Hong Kong, some have served in D.C., some have served in other countries, some have served in other bases here in the States. They've been everywhere. And yet, what we've tried to inculcate into their thinking before they leave is they never quit, never quit, never quit. And here's what the writer of Hebrews says. The reason we hold fast, the reason we don't quit, is because he is faithful that promised. That's why we hold on. So we want to teach singles this principle. They need to be faithful because God is faithful. Not because they love the preacher, not because they love your activities, not because they love whatever, not because they're hoping to find a spouse. They need to learn to be faithful because God is faithful. It's rooted in that. Being faithful because God is faithful. The writer of Hebrews anchors the call to holding fast, and he just propositions it, he founds it upon this promise. We have a faithful God who's made a promise, and he will not let us down. Singles don't need just a motivational, you can do it. They don't need just a pep talk. They need Bible-based principles and promises that they can hold on to. This means that we want to cause our students, our people in our class, as believers, to be able to stand without wavering. That's our goal. So if you have the first picture is we want to teach them how to sit at the feet of Jesus. The second picture is this. We want to learn to teach them how to stand for truth. It's much easier to stand for truth if you first sat at the feet of Jesus. If you first sat and taken in his word, and there's been this daily intake, and they're developing a personal walk, not just on Sundays, but they're developing a personal walk. And and they're coming to your home, or they're doing discipleship with you, or you're just spending time helping them learn what it means to sit at the feet of Jesus, then when it comes time to stand, they have some roots that are deep. We have had a lot of people through our house in the last 20 plus years. A single will come visit our church, and my wife and I will sort of make the eye contact and say, hey, visitor, we're going to bring them out to eat with us, or we're going to take them to our house. And we'll typically do what many of you do as well. We'll have a new person. Here's a couple of people that have been in our class for a while. We'll bring them together, and we'll try to just sort of make connections. And then we're going to try to build a relationship. And then we'll just, anywhere we can, we're going to pour our life into them. There's a missionary in Japan right now, Okinawa. He grew up on the mission field, and he came here to do an intern, but he also came because he wanted to, I think because he wanted to find a wife. Yeah. So he's here, and he's in my singles class. He's leading music, and we're having a great time. One Sunday night, we have the class over to our home, and it's just, you know, everybody brings something. Here's chips and dip, and here's soda and popcorn and just whatever anybody brings. You never know what you're going to get when you task singles to bring food, but it was all there. Whatever they wanted to bring, it was there. And so we're all just sort of having fun, talking and hanging out. And so I noticed that he starts talking to this girl in our class. And then I noticed people starting to leave, and they're still talking. And then more people are leaving, and they're still talking. Then everybody's gone, and they're still talking. And so my wife and I talked with them for a little bit. And then they started dating, and they're serving the Lord on the mission field right now. It's just a fun story because there's just people that have come through, and you've given them a chance to say, hey, We're gonna pour our life in you. We're gonna try to point you to Jesus. We're gonna help you have right relationships, and we want you to build those roots deep. And so that when it comes time, you're not only drawing near, you're holding fast. You're standing firm. You're rooted, and you're not wavering, because that's rooted in the fact that God is faithful. So here's the goal: we want to create an environment where singles learn how to stand for biblical truth. The world's gonna do all that they can to cause Christians to waver. And there's a lot of temptations, yes, for married people, but for singles as well. A lot pulling for their attention, a lot pulling for their heart. And so we want to help them draw near. We want to teach them to sit at the feet of Jesus. We want to teach them to stand for biblical truth. And then the writer goes on to say in verse 24, let us consider one another. Let's consider others. He says, consider one another, provoke unto love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. When someone has learned to sit at the feet of Jesus, the roots have gone deep, they're able to stand for truth, those are the people that are able to serve others. That's sort of the progression. They are drawing near, they are holding fast, now they're thinking about others. Let's face it, this is the me generation, married or single. It's the me generation. Selfies. That wasn't a word 20 years ago. We didn't have that. That wasn't in our dictionary. It wasn't in our vocabulary. But everybody talks about selfies, right? And we have self this, self that, self this. But when a single or a married person starts learning how to draw near and learns how to hold fast, those are the people who also start to learn how to consider one another. And notice what the writer says when he says, consider one another. He says, I want you to think about provoking them to love and to good works. When someone is in the stage of drawing near, we're trying to connect them to God. When someone is in the stage of considering, we're trying to connect them to one another. We don't want to connect them to one another till we connect them to God first, because he's the one who holds us together. It's interesting how the writer says this. Let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works. I think the order is important. Sometimes in our good churches, we're very quick to provoke people to good works. In a nursery worker, hey, I need a bus worker. Who's gonna serve Jesus? Well, if you don't do this, you know, people are going to die and go to hell. You know, we're provoking, right? But when that motivation is gone, so is the service. The writer here gives us wisdom. He says, before you provoke them to good works, first provoke them to love. Because if we can provoke people to love Jesus more, the good works will follow. And he gives us some thoughts here about connecting. We connect to each other. We are not, in the words of John Donne, no man is an island. We're a body that's serving Christ together, whether it's married people, single people, we're serving Christ together. We need to learn how to provoke, and that involves sometimes confrontation. That involves sometimes having difficult conversations. That involves sometimes asking somebody about their walk with Christ. It involves sometimes asking people about their friends. It involves sometimes about caring enough when somebody's missed a class to call. There's this provoking to love and to good works. Why? Because the goal is to create an environment where singles are happily serving the Lord alongside the rest of the body of Christ. And I emphasize the word happily, because if we don't have the right understanding of the singles population, sometimes they serve, but it's grudgingly. With the idea, I could be sitting in a class if I was married, or I would have a place to serve if I was married. Does that make sense? And so the goal is to have a healthy, not just a healthy singles ministry, a healthy church that has a place for singles to serve and a place for couples to serve and a place where we're connecting. We've learned to sit at the feet of Jesus. We've learned to stand for truth, and we've learned how to serve one another. And then he says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Sometimes people say, hey, what do you think is the secret to having people in your class? Is it, you know, do you have great lessons? No, not really. Is it because you have a good time and you laugh a lot? No, I don't think that's it. I really think the bottom line is they think, I believe our class knows that they have a friend here that cares for them and will do anything he can to try to help them be the Christian God wants them to be. And that develops a relationship. Not a relationship where they're attracted to me first, but a relationship where together we're sharpening one another to be closer to the Lord. And as we're growing closer to the Lord, we're sitting at his feet, we're standing, and then we're serving together. Well, what does an effective singles group look like? I think it's a microcosm of what a healthy church looks like. So three diagnostic questions. Do I have an effective singles ministry? Or, to broaden it, do I have an effective church? Three diagnostic questions. Are people drawing near? If people aren't learning how to stop and bow worship, if people aren't learning how to sit at his feet and learn his word, whether that's at a preaching service or a class or a discipleship or in our homes, whatever the context, but if that's not being taken place intentionally, that's a diagnostic question we need to evaluate and ask, how are we going to fix that? What can I do differently to make sure that there's intentional helping singles? And if it needs to be broaden it, but in this context, is what do I need to do to intentionally help singles draw closer to the Lord, not closer to the church, not closer to the pastor? That will come as well, but closer to the Lord. That's a diagnostic question. Here's another diagnostic question. Are they holding fast or are they wavering? Too many people waver today. It's not just the singles. It's just a culture. Taking its shots. So we want to learn to help our singles and our churches go deep at the feet of Jesus, rooted there, rooted deeply. And as a result of that, like the oak tree planted by the rivers of water, not moved, holding fast. This I believe. In the words of Martin Luther, here I stand. I can't do anything different. This is truth. This is where I've drawn the line. I have bought the truth. It's not for sale. That's what we want to build into their lives. So do we have that? Are they holding fast? I mean, are they committed to the beliefs of the church? Or are they coming because of the programs? There are several churches in our community that have singles ministries, and sometimes I'll have guys visit my class, and I know why they're coming. They've scouted the others, and they're looking to see if there's a potential mate in my class. That's what they're doing. They're not being drawn here for the biblical truth. They're not being drawn here because of strong preaching. They're looking for the program. Well, if that was the bulk of my class, that's unhealthy. That's unhealthy. And so a diagnostic question I need to ask myself as a leader is, okay, not only are they drawing near, are they learning how to take a stand for their beliefs? And here's the third one. Are they considering others? Do they serve? Are they others-minded, or is it all about them? When they come to class, do they sit in cliques? Here's some things I've done just over the years. It's sort of fun. Singles are creatures of habits just like we are. They have their seat in class. They come in. They put their Bible down, same seat, each week. Sometimes I have switched the direction of my class. So, like, if I was teaching upstairs, just shift the chairs around, and I've taught from this room. They've come in here, and when they walk in, it's like they don't know where to go. And they don't know where their friends are going to be because it's all mixed up. I don't want just groups of cliques. That's not healthy. It's not healthy at all. I want to incorporate because we're a body. I want to get everybody together. I want us thinking about others. We had a work night just a couple Friday nights ago, just getting the campus ready for the conference. And I had about 18 or so singles from my class coming out, and we're painting and things like that. And here's some people that maybe they don't normally talk to each other, but now they're serving together, and they're a new friend. Sometimes they have served in a nursery together and made a new friend. And the idea here is that the progression is sitting, standing, serving. These are three ingredients that, just in an overview, I think the book of Hebrews will help us to understand what an effective and a healthy singles ministry looks like. It's not rocket science where we're trying to just, what's the magic pill? What's the silver bullet that's going to help us draw all the singles to our community? They just want to know that someone believes in what they're saying. They want to know that you love them. And they want to know they're not second class. And that they have a place at the table. That they have a place at the Lord's work. And if we can communicate that, we'll be much more effective at reaching them. And hopefully I'll give you some things to think about. I'm going to pray, and I'll hang around here. If you have any questions, I'll be here as long as you want. But I'll pray, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, I pray that you take some of these thoughts. They're not hard. They're right from Hebrews chapter number 10. But Lord, would you take these thoughts and these diagnostic questions, help us to, first of all, ask them in relationship to our singles. Then, Lord, help us to broaden it to the different ministries of our church. And I pray that we would not only have an effective, healthy singles ministry, but we'd have healthy, effective churches reaching people with the gospel. Lord, we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.